Hello and welcome back to the Down to the Wire podcast. 2 weeks in a row. We were away for a while, but now we're doing 2 weeks in a row. We're going to be talking about the Russian Grand Prix. Jack, how are you doing?
I'm all right, Diane. In terms of all of my other activities, it doesn't get much worse. I've had a red arrow in the fantasy football. I lost my NFL fantasy matchup. The Chiefs lost. Man United lost. And truth be told, I'm more of a fan. I wouldn't say I'm a big fan of Hamilton. And, you know, spoiler alert, he wins. So yeah, it was an all round not a great week for me. But I'm in good spirits.
You said you were a red arrow on your fantasy, but where actually are you in the fantasy for context? Because I feel like a lot of people would probably be dreaming of where you are.
4,000 in the world. In around.
Say again.
4,000 in the world.
4,000th in the world, so it's not too bad.
Out of the 8 million, it's not too shabby.
I'm trying to think, because we both had a player, didn't we, who kind of very much let us... Oh, I think it might have been... Oh, it was Fernandez, I think, wasn't it?
I didn't have Fernandez. I had Lukaku. And
Yes, it was Lukaku. Well, I had Lukaku
I didn't expect
Fernandez.
Much from him against Man City, but hey-ho. To be honest, though, I did well out of Alan Saint-Maximin. He was a good call this week.
Yeah, and you had a good gamble on Mikel Antonio as well, didn't you?
He got the extra point over Salah, who I was going to go with, so that effectively is two extra points. So, Some good, some bad.
Win some, lose some, eh? I feel like we could say that in summary of this Russian Grand Prix as well, really, couldn't we?
We could. I mean, to be fair, as a weekend as a whole, it was almost like the weather... was the different moods of different drivers. I mean, you see guys like Norris.
Wow, that is deep.
It's like when it rained, he was really bad, and when it was sunny, he was really good. Whilst for the opposite was the case for Hamilton, where when it was raining, he was actually really good, and when it was all drying up, he wasn't actually having the best of times. But hey-ho.
Well, segue then into qualifying. I mean, we'll start with Lando Norris, because he qualified on pole. But he managed to nail the kind of transition from... the wetter tyres to the slick tyres. He gambled, went for it, and he absolutely nailed his lap.
Well, do you reckon that was more so... Well, I think it was less because of the gamble, but when he made the gamble. The sense that... Not that... like, sometimes you can... You know what I mean? It wasn't like it was fastest when he went onto the soft tyres and was doing his stints. I think it was just the case that he was on them for so long that they warmed up and they were at the correct temperature you needed them at to set a good lap, whilst your guys like Hamilton and Bottas, who only managed to get one flying lap out, couldn't get their tyres quite up to the same heat, and just meant that they weren't as snappy and in some cases a bit more spinny.
Yeah, I think the move to the slicks was... I wouldn't say obvious, because I don't think it's ever obvious in F1 in those sort of scenarios, but I think it was an educated guess, shall we say.
It was an educated gamble, because the guys who made the gamble were the ones who were doing particularly poor.
It paid off, yeah.
I mean, Russell was the first to do it, and he was something like 5 seconds off of first at one stage, and then he ends up third. So, yeah, it pays off if you're not sure and you're going to be towards the back anyway. Why not give it a gamble and end up at the front?
But in summary, another good... I mean, we'll get onto the race in a moment, but as in, you know, back-to-back... well, no, it's not really, is it? But McLaren have had two... Back-to-back, they've had two very good races in Monza and Sochi, which I suppose for them is quite good, because I think after Monza, was it Seidel who came out and said, like, basically... excuse me, not that it was a flash in the pan at Monza, but as in, like, they still had a long way to go. Like, at Zandvoort, they had a bit of a stinker. But I don't know, I feel like these last two races, perhaps I'm overthinking a little bit, but they're giving me a bit of hope for when the regulations change going into next season. As in, like, could we have a third team kind of competing? Because at the moment, it's Red Bull and Mercedes, isn't it? Is there the potential that... McLaren could be back up there. I mean, Ferrari have shown a few signs, but as in, I feel like they've been more hit and miss than McLaren have.
Yeah, if McLaren don't finish third as the constructor, they can look at this season as a poor one.
Yes, I'd agree.
Because it means they are much quicker than Ferrari. So if you're making, I wouldn't say mistakes, but not capitalising on your advantages often enough to beat a team which... is capitalising on any advantage. You got to look out and say what you're doing as a team. But I would say in regards to the regulation change, I mean, I've put this at the bottom of the notes, but I guess we could chat about it now. Sainz led the race at one point in this race, and that meant he was the 11th different driver to lead a Grand Prix this season, which is more than half the grid. So is this not the most competitive it's ever been? Won't a regulation change just mean the big boys spending all their money are just going to re-gap to everybody else, whilst at the moment it seems as tight as ever?
Well, I mean, I would agree that it's... Well, I wouldn't say as tight as ever. It's the tightest it's been in a very long time.
Yeah.
Like, when you consider... you know, for ages, we've just had Mercedes winning it. And I'm trying to think now. I'm pretty sure all of those seasons it's been basically between the two Merc drivers.
In terms of the championship, there was a period where Ferrari was going toe-to-toe for about 2 years, 3 years. But they couldn't consistently keep it together, could they? They were just really good on the straights. That was the important thing.
But I would say it's probably the... It's a tricky one, because I get what you're saying in terms of the leaders of races, but as in when you look at the winners of races, we're still very much in a situation where it's more often than not either Hamilton or Verstappen first, followed by Bottas, or maybe Perez if he has a good week.
Well, is that not enough? Are you not satisfied with just... Well, with two teams at the front? Like, do you need a third team for this to be an interesting season? That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, like...
Whilst when you've got two teams doing it, you've at least got a battle out of, you know, outside of one team. But also, all of the other teams are incredibly tight this year.
I mean, when you think back to the good old days when you had... when, you know, for example, when Sebastian Vettel won his first championship with Red Bull, you know, you had Red Bull, McLaren and Ferrari all in the mix. To the point where going into the last day, or the last race, I should say, Mark Webber could win it, Sebastian Vettel could win it, Lewis Hamilton could win it, and Fernando Alonso could win it. Sebastian Vettel went on to win it, and it was the first time he'd led the championship for the whole season. After the last race where he won it. So
is that in the hybrid car era?
No, that was before the hybrid era. That would have been...
I thought it was. I wasn't sure. But
yeah, I'm losing track now. But as in it was Sebastian Vettel's first championship with Red Bull. So whenever that would have been, I would probably say 2013 is what's popping into my head. Maybe before, but it must have been before. I don't know. I don't know when it was. It was a while ago. But yeah, as in I don't think you can ever have too much competition at the front. There's a little part of me as well that wonders perhaps if they hadn't made the regulation change with the rake of the cars, would it be as close at the front as it has been?
Would you not prefer that instead of wide scale regulation changes, which sort of reset everybody, or they might have a big rejig and some guys might go really high or really low in comparison to what they're previous, but by and large you're gonna see Red Bull, Ferrari and Mercedes and McLaren probably at the top. Would you not prefer to see them consistently year on year bringing out a tweak to the regulations which hinders whoever's at the front, so it brings them down? And let's say now Red Bull win this year and there wasn't a regulation change next year, maybe they look at something which Red Bull do particularly well and say, right, we're going to tweak the rules so they can't do that anymore. So in a sense, it's constantly bringing whoever's at the top back. Like, almost you think of the NFL. They have a draft every year, and if you win the Super Bowl, you are last. Yeah, every year you are brought closer to the pack, and the pack is brought closer to you. So would you not prefer to see something like that implemented in Formula One where... I mean, to an extent, they do that with the wind tunnels, and that you get less time to test. But you know what I mean. Finding a tweak and saying, right, you can't do that this year, or maybe it was a bit drastic. The fact that the Mercedes had the rake change and the fact they couldn't do the DAS pulling out the steering wheel thing. Maybe that was a double whammy for them, which is why they've been brought back into it. But would you not like to see small tweaks instead?
I don't mind tweet. I mean, the thing is that that's generally what they do between sort of the large regulation changes anyway. I think it's good to have regulation changes at some point, because I think, you know, it just makes it more interesting, doesn't it? It's just another variable. They do it to kind of, based on what's happened in the current regulations, what things are good, what things are bad. They just try and mix it up a bit. I mean, I don't know, really. We'll see what happens. I'm kind of fairly happy either way.
I'm hopeful for a different team at the top. It's very unlikely it's going to happen, but well, to see a team like McLaren go, yeah, we're going to dominate this next.
It would be. I'm not saying that I would like. Well, no, I would like, but I'm not saying it needs to be that, you know, you have McLaren and Ferrari and Red Bull and Mercedes all going for it every single race. But I don't know. I think just another couple of teams up there, just so that, you know, for example, it seems like at the moment, if Lewis Hamilton has a bad day, then you can almost bet your bottom dollar that it's going to be Max Verstappen, mm-hmm. regardless of how well he's doing. Whereas what you could really do with is like, okay, Hamilton's out of the equation, you've still got like another two or three drivers who are there or thereabouts.
Ideally, you would have another two drivers in Perez and Bottas if it isn't some rubbish.
Yeah,
I get what you mean. I do get what you mean, though. It's not a perfect situation, but I don't think you're ever going to get that perfect situation, are you? But yeah, it would be nice to see a bit of change. It'd be nice to see somebody else win. To be fair, though, I think what all people want is exciting races.
Mm.
And I don't think it would have mattered who won the race this weekend. It's just the fact that the rain came, and it came. I mean, it was almost like a movie or a theatre. It was like, what on earth is going on? Everyone is changing. Like, I don't think anyone finished in the position they were in from lap 47 out of 53 purely because of the rain. It was just chaos. So you know what I mean? You just want good racing, and I think with this regulation change, they are making the cars smaller, so I think it is going to be for the better. You can't, in a sense, at present, you can just drive the driving line and win the race. You haven't got to be the quickest driver. You just got to stick the car where it needs to be stuck.
I mean, speaking of sticking cars where they need to be stuck, going back to qualifying briefly, so we had Carlos Sainz planted it on the front row, which was nice for Ferrari. I mean, like, so the front row was Lando Norris, followed by Carlos Sainz, followed by George Russell in the Williams. I mean, firstly, Mercedes must be licking their lips for next season. If George Russell can get a Williams on the, you know, the second row of the grid, that's amazing.
Well, do you think he's on there purely on his own merits, like own skill, or do you think that's an accumulation of sort of the new work they've been doing with this new ownership?
Well, I mean,
like, because you haven't really got a baseline to work off of, because Latifi's not a good driver. But if, like, Latifi was, say, I almost said Stroll, but that's just because the first name I looked at. Don't say Stroll. Let's say Latifi was an Alonso or a Ricciardo. Do you think George Russell would be beating them?
I mean, apart from his race win, you'd have Lando Norris beating Daniel Ricciardo, and therefore I wouldn't see why George Russell would be any different.
Fair.
So, it was interesting. Front three, and then Lewis Hamilton qualified fourth. Smacked his wing on entry to the pit.
That was scuppered the entire quali.
Apart from the race result, Lewis Hamilton had a bit of a rough weekend, really, isn't he? He took out one of his pit crew in practice. He then smacked into the wall in qualifying, and not only did that hinder himself, because as you said, it meant he didn't really have enough time to warm up the slick tyres, it also hindered Bottas, because Hamilton came in. Obviously, they had to change his front wing and his tyres, and then Bottas kind of stacked up behind him. And I think the Mercedes crew realised, well, hang on a second, the time we're spending doing the wing, that's time that Bottas is losing. So they then kind of rolled Hamilton out of the way, did Bottas's pit stop, and then rolled Hamilton back and finished it off. So it was very chaotic. So, bit of a Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Hamilton will be delighted that he's come away with the win, to be honest. But as in, yeah, a bit of a rough weekend for him. Very odd weekend for qualifying.
Also, what was weird was that Sainz, who finished second, almost didn't make it into Q3. Yeah. He was 10th in Q2, and had Verstappen and Leclerc not taken their big grid penalties, they probably would have raced in the qualifying. So that would have meant that Sainz probably wouldn't have made it into Q3. So
yeah.
He's a very, very lucky boy.
He's a very lucky boy. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else worth noting from qualifying, really. Not really, as in, I think, as you said, it really depended on when the drivers kind of jumped onto the slick tyres as to where they kind of finished. If they did it kind of early enough, they kind of nailed it, like Lando Norris did. If they did it a little bit later, like Hamilton and Bottas did, then they didn't quite manage to get the benefit of the slick tyres because they weren't up to temperature.
Yeah.
Should we move on to the race?
Let's do that.
I think we should probably do it. You've laid it out here kind of person by person, haven't you? I think that's probably a good way of doing it, just because it was so chaotic in terms of, like, there were so many people sort of doing different strategies. I don't know whether perhaps that was because there were rumours of rain, so perhaps some teams kind of filtered that into their strategy a little bit. But you had people doing long SIDs, you had people doing sort of two stoppers, yeah, you had all sorts going on. So should we start with the man who started at the front?
Let's do that.
Lando Norris. I mean, before we get into the nitty-gritty, I mean, he had a brilliant race, to be fair to the guy. Like, he didn't really do a lot wrong. As in, he lost out to Carlos Sainz initially, but then he managed to take that back.
Yeah.
I think it was just the consistency as well, wasn't it? As in, like, he was kind of banging in sort of...
He was the best driver this weekend.
Yeah.
And he was just unfortunate enough that Hamilton is in a quicker car to start with, so it just meant when both he and Hamilton both had clean air, Hamilton was able to bridge that gap.
Chop away, yeah.
Yeah. But apart from that, he drove the best in the wet of the qualifying, like in that sort of intermediate
change. Greasy phase.
He was the quickest by 0.5, half a second. So yeah, he was phenomenal in qualifying. And to be fair, apart from losing out at the beginning of the race to Sainz, as you said, I mean, to be fair, that was almost expected just because of the nature of the circuit where the toe is just enormous.
Sainz actually had a pretty poor start, but because he had a poor start, he was able to basically just slot in directly behind Lando Norris.
And then slingshot ahead almost.
Yeah, basically, yeah. But yeah, like you said, Lando Norris didn't really do a lot wrong. And as in, like, you had some drivers kind of coming on the radio going, oh, you know, this tyre's graining, that tyre's graining. And I think at one point Norris did as well. But like they said in commentary, they were like, that may be the case, but like his lap times were just like so consistent.
Yeah. I think they were saying Hamilton's fastest was something like a 1:39.9 and Norris was consistently 1:41, 1:40.2. Yeah. You know, just consistently in that range. And it was like, well, if you're only losing 2 or 3 tenths when you're 13 seconds up, it's not the end of the world.
No. Especially when there was the potential that there was going to be other pit stops and rain and all other sorts of things happening. So yeah, he controlled the race right up until the point where he didn't.
Well, that was the interesting thing I thought about the race, was there was this rumour of rain for the majority of the race. And I don't understand why Sainz and Russell... I don't know who the strategy guys are over at Ferrari and Williams, but I can't understand where the strategy comes from. Where you've got Lewis Hamilton behind you. He can't overtake, and he was struggling to overtake the two of them because they were all just sort of equal for pace. They all had DRS on each other.
Yeah, it was a DRS run, wasn't it?
And they went, we'll pit early to go on to a two-stop strategy. Firstly, a two-stop strategy isn't going to work in the rain because you're not going to get long enough on those softer tyres to make that advantage up. You need an entire race if you're going to pull off a big move like that. Secondly, Hamilton's behind you. He can't overtake you if you're ahead of him. So until he overtakes you, stick out on what you're doing. Mm. Because otherwise, both of them pit. It's just Norris and Ricciardo. And there was pretty much big gaps from there on. So it was like Hamilton just had all this clean air to drive into. It's like, oh, it was... Well, yeah, Hamilton drove a good race. And, you know, he did what he needed to do. But I'm baffled by the Sainz and Russell decisions just to let him by.
I mean, initially, it seemed to be a smart move to move on to the hards early, didn't it? Because, like, you looked at...
They were setting some really fast laps, yeah.
And not just that, they managed to kind of... A few of the drivers, like, I think Lance Stroll was the first one to do it, but, like, he managed to slot himself in a nice gap where he basically had clean air on the fresh tyre, which then meant that, like, when Hamilton or whoever it was came out from their pit stop, you know, however many laps later, they jumped them. But I think then they suffered the consequences at the end because they didn't have the tyre life left. So it was a little bit like... Because, like, when I was watching it, initially I thought, right, why have Mercedes pitted Hamilton here then? Because, like, all of the other teams are pitted. But then the longer it went on, and, like, Hamilton, again, was kind of doing fairly consistent laps, wasn't really coming under threat from anyone. And you were like, right, as soon as the car ahead of him pits, he's just going to go, finish off his tyres, and then he'll pit. So the longer it kind of went on.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So the longer it kind of went on, and the more you kind of watched the race, the more you were like, no, I feel like those guys who pitted early have made a bit of a boo-boo, yeah?
Absolutely.
But yeah, it was an interesting race, because I think, like I said, you had people on different strategies. I mean, for a start, you had Verstappen coming from the back. So he was basically just on maximum attack for the majority of the race. You had Hamilton, who was kind of playing the long game. You had Lando Norris out front, who was kind of controlling everything. You had Sergio Perez, who was doing... He did, like, a mega long stint, didn't he? Is his first stint?
Yeah, he was the longest to stay out, in a sense, before he did his first stop. It worked out for him. There was a hint of they might just leave him just to scupper Hamilton. But I think Hamilton actually ended up pitting before him or before even reaching him. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, Hamilton overtook him relatively early on. So it just kind of meant that, well, there's never going to be a point where Perez...
He's ahead of Hamilton.
Well, he would be ahead, but not close enough to slow him down. So it's like, well, it was just negligible by that point. But yeah, all sorts of strategies going on.
I mean, sticking with Norris, I guess we should talk about the unfortunate sort of demise of the race for him. So as you said, as in, like, after they'd done their stops, you know, like, Hamilton was... way behind. He was kind of chipping away, wasn't he? As in, like, he would kind of...
It was a 13-second gap, and he'd managed to get it to within 2 seconds by lap... I think it was... I've put it in the notes. It was by lap 30-something, I think.
38?
Oh, no. By lap 23. Oh, no. Lap 23, he found himself in P2, 13 seconds behind Norris.
Yeah.
And I can't find where I put it in the notes, but yeah, it was in the 30s where he found himself within 2 seconds, and then it was like, okay,
38, this is lap 38. Yeah. That's where you got in the notes.
It was a proper race from there on, and it was just the two of them. In a sense, it was like, can Norris hold out to make sure that Hamilton isn't within a second when they cross those DRS markers? And to be fair, he was doing it well, and that was when the rain came, and it was like, ooh. Okay, we got rain at lap at turn 5. It was like, okay, that's all right. Then it'll be rain a few more corners. Yeah, there was a few more corners then, and then that's when I think Hamilton had a bit of a moment, didn't he? And he was within the second, and then he lost it.
Well, they both had a bit of a moment. I think the first, so it seemed like the rain was in, like, the middle sector. Sector 1 and sector 3 were fine. So it was one of those ones where it was like, oh, as things were at that point, you were like, you don't really know, because as in...
You were gaining a lot of time on the dry sectors.
Yeah, but then you were playing a bit of, a very risky game in the middle sector then, because if you don't have the grip, you're just going to plant it in a wall. But yeah, I think Norris was one of the... I think Norris lost it first, because he ran wide, didn't he? And then he was kind
very
of like...
Wide.
And then he managed to get it back on the track, and then Hamilton had a moment then where he had to kind of correct...
And then it was about four seconds off.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, this is working out. And then it was kind of like, they needed one more lap, and then it was like, okay, the whole track is wet at this point. Mm. And I think there were three laps left at that point.
Yeah.
And then there's Norris, there's 4 seconds to Hamilton, and there's about 27 seconds to Sainz. So both of them knew they weren't going to finish third or lower at that point.
Yeah.
Because they were like, they've got such a big gap. But Hamilton sort of held all the cards at that moment, even though he was second, because he could make...
Do the opposite.
He could do what he wanted. If Norris pitted, he knew that he had the option of staying out, and then it was like, he's just got to, in a sense, survive for whatever the time gap is that Norris loses in the pits going on to the intermediates. If Norris pits, he can stay out. If Norris pits, he can go in. If Norris doesn't pit, he can go in. If Norris doesn't pit, he doesn't have to pit. And it was like, well, he could do whatever he wants, but in a sense, whichever... If they thought, in a sense, it was quicker to go on to the inters and Norris doesn't go in that lap, they go, well, if we pit, the worst that happens is we're second place because it's such a massive gap. So, but if Norris pits, he loses his first race and he could finish second. And it was like, well, in a sense, there was more for Norris to lose in that scenario. So it's like, Hamilton was there just like, great, I can do what I want. And then he ends up pitting first. And it was almost like, I think at that point it was too wet to be on the soft.
It was funny because they were with Hamilton in the pits and like he was getting his inters on, and like I'm sure I said to myself, I was like, oh, I don't know about this, you know, and then it cut to Norris and I was like, oh my gosh, the heavens have opened.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen such torrential rain like in such a short amount of time.
It just went from, okay, it's wet, to it's like Noah's Ark. It was awful. And he just slid. They said on the commentary he could lose something like 6.5 seconds a lap and still win.
Yeah.
And after one, it was 7 seconds he'd lost. And it was like, this is only going to get worse. And then it was like, okay. And then they went around to the pits again and Norris still didn't pit. Because he was kind of like at that point, I lose first if I pit because Hamilton's gained so much time.
Yeah, he was like, I'm committing to it,
I'm double down in you. And then it was, that lap was awful. He was just sliding off. I think, but anyway, he came out of the pits eighth the next lap and it was like, well.
But it was the way it was so dramatic, wasn't it? As in, like, Norris was there and you're like, oh man, he's just all over the place. Like, he can't, he's not going to be able to keep the car straight. And you could see the time, like, tumbling down in like 3 second chunks. And then like Norris goes round the corner, runs straight on, and then Hamilton just kind of through the rain and mist of all of the other cars just kind of drives past, and you're like, oh no. Like,
it was tragic.
I mean, look, I'm a Lewis Hamilton fan. As if you've listened to this podcast, you probably know already, but I don't think there's any Formula One fan in the world who wasn't really feeling for Lando Norris in that moment.
It was like, grim.
Yeah.
It was grim.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to say this now, this might be a little bit controversial. I think it's, like, I don't know what McLaren were doing in that scenario. For me, because, like, I don't know whether you saw the post-race stuff, but, like, they had a moment where, they have, like, the media pen, where, like, all of the drivers are kind of standing next to each other talking to the
different media.
And
Norris did say there, didn't he, that you're a better team. Basically, telling you the information. I was like, oh, that's a statement.
I mean, look, it's not fully team fault or fully driver fault. In this scenario, I guess there's an element to which Lando Norris is also partly to blame, because ultimately they told Lando Norris that it was getting wet.
They didn't say, that it's going to get wetter. They were just saying, do you want to pit? Those are the questions.
But they did come on the radio and say, Hamilton's gone on to the inters. And his response was, shut up. So,
yeah, to be fair, though, in that point, it was like, I'm living or dying by this sword. Because they knew the inters were quicker. They just didn't know how much quicker. And it was very evident how much quicker they were. And it was too late to do anything by that point.
I would say, I think McLaren could have been a bit firmer and said, no, Lando, you need to come in now, otherwise you're not going to finish in first.
They or could have, but I don't blame them for not saying it, because in the scenario, how wet it was, it didn't seem that it was going to be that slow. Like, in a sense, if he hadn't skidded off, at those two corners, he probably would have been okay. He might have got to the end of that lap still in first. Mm. But it was just that the heavens did just go, yeah, you got to drown.
But then I guess that's. But then I think that's the risk you play, isn't it? When you stay out, when it's starting to rain and you stay out on, you know, basically what you're banking. Because, like, what you're banking on is that it's going to stop raining. Because if it keeps raining at the same amount, the track is only going to get wetter. As in, a track doesn't stay the same amount of wetness if it's continually raining. So,
yeah.
I'm kind of the opinion, it's like, I feel like Lando Norris probably could have listened to McLaren more. However, I feel like McLaren were a little bit like, they were too kind of, oh, Lando, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Because, like, you know, at the end of the day, Lando Norris can only report on how the car is feeling in the moment. And in the moment, Norris was like, well, Sector 2 is a bit dodge, but Sector 1 and 3 are fine. And I think that's a very valid argument. And at that point, you probably think, yeah, no, you should stay out. But I do think McLaren perhaps should have had a little bit more foresight. As in, like, Mercedes knew, because Hamilton said the exact same thing as Norris, and he was like, well, it feels all right at the moment. And Mercedes were like, no, Lewis, you need to come in. And Lewis came in, and Lewis wins the race. So that's the differentiating factor for me.
Yeah, I agree. To be fair, though, when I was watching, I thought Norris has played this right. I thought it was better to stay out, and I thought he was going to be safe with that big 26-second buffer. So the fact that he then made it all up that quickly, it was like, well, even the neutral got it wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think anyone could have predicted how bad the conditions were going to get, how quickly. Mm. Even though it was like, it will get a bit wet, it was like, that was unprecedentedly wet. So yeah, it is what it is. I think, you know, it's deadly unfortunate for Norris, because had that race not had the rain, you don't know if you'd have won, because him and Hamilton were properly going for it, and it was really just driving on the
limits. Yeah, it could
have
gone either way.
I wouldn't even say it's a shame, because it was just such an awesome ending to the race. But yeah,
it was. It did deprive. It was exciting in a different way, but it did deprive us of the battle, I think, between Hamilton and.
It didn't become a driver battle. It became a strategy battle.
It just became very chaotic, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Very chaotic. But yeah, and I mean, moving on to Hamilton, then, as in, like, for him as well. It was a bit of a weird race, to be honest, because he just kind of hung it out as long as he could on the mediums, moved on to the hards, and then just kind of, yeah, as in, tactically, I think Mercedes played it very well, actually, excluding the rain for a minute, because I feel like that's literally what happens in the moment.
Well, they played it well. I feel like everyone else just played it poorly. And it was just like, not handing him the race, but in a sense, he would have had a very hard time winning that race had Sainz, Russell, Ricciardo to an extent all not pitted so early. Like, it I was just surprised they all pitted so early. It did seem, before the race even, the more logical just to stick it out, because everyone's tyres seemed to drop off quite early, but it was just how long can you nurse them? And that seemed to be what the race was, but hey-ho. You know, he did what he needed to do, and if everybody else makes mistakes, he capitalized on them. I you know what, though, if they hadn't pitted, I don't think Hamilton would have been as close to Norris as he was, and if he wasn't that close, who knows, he might have pitted early. He might have pitted, you know, in more assurance, thinking, oh, I can get away with, you know what I mean, I may as well pit now, because I'm not going to lose six seconds in one lap if he's going to pit the next lap anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? But, you know, Hamilton drove the race he needed to. They played the strategy as he should have. And, you know, it's kind of like Bahrain. I always think back to that, because Red Bull were the faster team. Yeah, Red Bull were the faster team. And they messed up the strategy. And Hamilton just, well, Mercedes did the correct strategy and ended up winning because of it. They didn't do a masterstroke. They just went, we're going to stick to the strategy, and Red Bull outsmarted themselves. And...
well, I think that's perhaps where you've got to give Mercedes a bit of credit, because I think it would have been quite easy once...
Especially once after that qualifying where it really messed up.
Yeah, once that little gaggle of cars started kind of pitting, if they'd kind of followed suit just to kind of stick with them. But they were like, no, we've got our strategy, this is what we're doing. And we've kind of already discussed the the battle that could have been with Norris. You know, he managed to kind of quite convincingly chop down that time between himself and Norris, you know, kind of chipping away at it. I to be honest with you, I know we've just said this, but as in, I feel like the rain did, although it was an exciting end, I feel like the rain did deprive us of a good battle there. Yeah. Because I think,
if Norris had won that, that would have been, like, right up there as one of the great performances.
Well, and, like, think of the context as well. Let's be fair, I remember you said it at the time when we were talking about Imola, and you said, like, of all of the drivers, because that was the race where Hamilton, he had a penalty of some sort, and then he had to go back, and he basically had to fight his way through the pack to get a second. And you said the only driver who put up, like, a really good fight against Hamilton was Lando Norris.
Exactly. He just puts his car in the right place.
Yeah. So,
and he's like, you can't overtake me if I'm in the driving line. And if I'm in the middle of the track, you can't do anything.
Yeah, and it would have been a good battle as well. Because, you know, you've got Lando Norris. Apologies if you can hear my dog in the background there. You've got Lando Norris, who's going for his first win in Formula One, particularly as well after Danny Ric getting the win last week. As nice as it is for your team to get their first win in however long, it's a bit of a bittersweet moment when your teammate gets the win and not yourself.
Yeah, he did seem in good spirits after it, to be fair.
That's not a reflection on Lando Norris. That's more from the point of view of, like, any. I feel like any Formula One driver would be like that.
But
you've got that side. You've also got Hamilton, who deep down realizes, like, This is a race that Mercedes needed to win, really, in order to kind of they in terms of the championship, this is one that they really needed to win in order to make sure that they were kind of still in the hunt, because, you know, this Red Bull race is coming up, Interlagos, Mexico, they're Red Bull tracks, so he's got that in the back of his mind. But equally, if he doesn't want to get into a tangle with Lando Norris, because that's almost as bad as, it's worse than finishing second. So I feel like it did deprive us a little bit.
To be honest, this weekend, as good as it was for Hamilton, also couldn't have gone any worse in respect to the whole Verstappen issue, because, I mean, Verstappen starting from the back with the engine change. And also, if you think the reason for the engine change was the fact that he crashed with Bottas back in Hungary, in a sense, they've had the Hungary race and this one where Verstappen's been penalised by something.
Yeah.
And they are, at the end of this whole saga, what, 6 points ahead of him? And it's like, you wanted from this weekend Verstappen not to get anywhere near you.
Yeah.
So that you had something like a 20-point buffer, because you know Verstappen's winning some more races this year.
I mean, for Verstappen, that if ever there was a race that defined damage limitation, it was that, really, to be honest.
Yeah. The 18-place climb, that's the second highest possible climb he could have had. And this was the highest since Vettel did it in Hockenheimring 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And weirdly, on that day, Verstappen was the winner. So a little bit of symmetry there. But yeah, you know what I mean? It was an incredible drive. The start of the race for him was particularly good, where he got up to 11th by lap 13. Mm. And that was overtaking a Bottas, who also took a grid penalty.
I tell you what.
For his engine. Was it for his engine? I couldn't tell what it was for.
Yeah, it was for his engine. But I just want to say this. After Monza, I was a little bit like, oh, I wonder if Mercedes will be looking at it and going, did we make the right decision? And then after that, in Russia, I was like, yeah, Mercedes will be feeling fairly confident in their decision. Because, like, he just let him past. Like, he didn't do anything. I don't think I have ever seen such a feeble defence. Like, he literally just moved out of the way for him.
Yeah, wasn't impressive by him. But
I mean, the thing is like, you kind of question perhaps where Bottas is at mentally, as in, you know, ultimately he's leaving the team at the end of the season. Is there perhaps maybe a little bit of sour grapes? I'm not saying that is the case, but as in, you know, when you're racing for a team that you know you're not going to be racing for, I guess that is a little bit of a weird scenario.
Perhaps, but I would say that, in a sense, he even if
he doesn't strike me as that individual, to be honest.
He doesn't to me either. But if he's not driving for Hamilton, because he's not going to be his teammate going forward.
Just for the team.
Yeah, but if he's not also driving for his team because he doesn't like them, he's driving for himself. And if you're driving for yourself, there's no reason to let Verstappen pass because you 100%. Want to be the good driver. You know.
100%. Yeah, isn't you know, there's an element which, like, yeah, I completely agree with what you're saying. Isn't like, it's almost like, you know, okay, you're not necessarily fighting for the championship. You may be feeling a little bit of sour grapes for the team, but if nothing else, you fight because you're a Formula One driver.
Yeah.
And like, I was watching that, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, that's just pathetic. Like,
these last few races for Mercedes could be the last opportunity for points for him in his career.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless he's just trying to show Alfa Romeo why they've signed him, just for his blue flag abilities and letting cars pass him super easily.
Savage.
I don't know.
Savage.
But he just let him, yeah, he let him pass like, well, hot knife through butter. Sorry,
yeah, and it was just, and the thing is as well, because like you referred to, it was in Bottas took an engine penalty, and there was a lot of discussion before the race, wasn't there? Was like, have Mercedes done that tactically to kind of put Bottas further down the grid as a bit of like a barrier to Verstappen?
Yeah,
and like as soon as he overtook him, I was like, well, if that was their plan, that's gone straight out the window.
I tell you though, what happened. It does allow them to do, going forward now, they'll have two relatively new engines to use, you know, and they can keep switching them, can't they? They you know, it's only when you use an extra one that you take this penalty. So
yeah,
they could just switch back and forth between them and just have uber good power going forward into these final few races. And maybe they'll eye up Bottas to stop Verstappen getting wins or, you know, struggling to get seconds just because Bottas will always be on a better engine. Who knows? You know, this could be a long-term decision to take these two hits. Because this is...
Possibly.
Russia's a good circuit to take a hit on because it's such a powerful straight that you get a lot of benefit from your new engine. So maybe they thought, regardless of taking one new engine, let's take a second because we can that small loss could be used quite powerfully in the future.
Yeah, I mean, if you're taking this that scenario aside, I don't think there's anything wrong, particularly with taking the penalty. Again, particularly because Bottas didn't... Where did Bottas qualify? He didn't qualify particularly well, did he?
He was in the
seventh. Yes, but as in... Not brilliant for Mercedes, let's put it that way.
Well, he finished fifth in the race.
Sorry, I feel like I very much interrupted your flow in talking about Verstappen, but I had to get that off my chest because I was watching that and I was like, that is diabolical.
Yeah, it wasn't good. But to be fair, it did seem that by the end of the race, I mean, Bottas finished fifth. Mm. And, well, they were sort of, they were all pitting in batches in a way. So lap 47, it was Russell, Bottas, Raikkonen, Mazepin. Mazepin doesn't matter, and Russell didn't seem to matter. But somehow Raikkonen managed, I think, got up to seventh? No, eighth. So Raikkonen got up to eighth. George Russell actually got up to tenth, and he was struggling because of that ridiculous decision to put him on the two-stop strategy. Then in lap 48, it was Verstappen, Sainz, Ricciardo, Stroll. Verstappen finished second, Sainz finished third, Ricciardo finished fourth, and Stroll crashed into Vettel.
Yeah, basically, I think lap 48 was the prime time to pit, but I think, you know, as in you can see why you would have done it before or just after.
And then it was Hamilton, Tsunoda that lap after, but Tsunoda was a non-factor and Hamilton had a big gap on everyone pretty much. Then it was Alonso, Perez, Vettel, Gasly, Ocon, Giovinazzi. None of them mattered by the end of the race, so clearly they were too slow. And then Norris and Leclerc. Leclerc, I think, finished something like 15th.
Well, I think he tried to do what Norris was trying to do as well, didn't he? Isn't they just tried to
take
it
a gamble? That 48 did seem like the perfect lap for it. 47 and then 49.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's worth saying in there, like, don't get me wrong, Verstappen's drive was brilliant, and even before he managed to jump up to second by jumping onto the Inters, you know, like, he still, I think, was he like fifth or seventh or something like that?
He was seventh at that stage, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. Like,
he had very little to lose.
Yeah, as in, I'm not taking it away, but as in, he did jump 18 places, but five of those were by making that snap decision. And again, well, it was the right decision, you can't take that away from him, but yeah, no, and like, he'll be... Hamilton probably finished the race, and then when he found out Verstappen finished second, his heart probably sank, I think. Because yeah. he's
as probably... cool as it is to win your race, and he's probably like, I bet he only had eternal vision at that point, thinking, I'm just racing Norris right now. I bet he wasn't.
Yeah.
Because in a sense, there is nothing he could do about it. It was just like, you know, wherever Verstappen finishes, he's not really... small talk that he might beat... Verstappen might actually beat Hamilton, because he was flying at the beginning.
But, yeah.
But no,
I think Hamilton said after the race, they said like, oh, you know, you disappointed that Verstappen's finished second, sort of thing. I can't remember exactly what they said. And he said something along the lines of, he was like, look, I can only do what I can do. So I guess ultimately he can't be disappointed because he's finished first. But I think he'll just be like, oh, flip sake, you know, he started 18th and he somehow managed to get up to second. You know, which is very, very impressive. So I think ultimately, all in all, when you look at going forwards, you know, Red Bull have now taken an engine, so they've got a fresh power unit. They've taken the grid penalty as well, which they suffered from Monza, and they've come away with second. There was a bit of me after the race, like, obviously hindsight is a beautiful thing, but if you think about it, if they hadn't taken the penalty for the engine, they would have been starting ahead of Hamilton on the grid.
Yeah, which is,
you know,
quite ironic.
What could have been? You can't say that, obviously, but as in, it, just in hindsight, like, reflecting on it. Like,
I think they'll take the second place, the grid penalty, and the engine change in
yes.
one race.
yes, they probably would.
It doesn't get much better than that.
No, not really. The only other thing would have been is if Hamilton had spun out, hit the wall and got 0 points. Exactly. That would have probably made their day. But no, as in, I don't know, I feel like it's advantage Red Bull now. Up until this point, there's been a part of me that thinks, no, I don't know.
I thought Mercedes would bridge a big gap, or not bridge, make a big gap for Hamilton to play with. Because in a sense, he can afford to be very loose with his car if he's in a battle with Verstappen now. But now he can't because he's magic up there. I mean, basically, what Verstappen's done this weekend is the equivalent of taking a 4-point hit in fantasy football, and then that player ends up getting a hat-trick.
So,
just nothing's gone wrong.
No. And look, sport, you know, in sport, I'm not saying that Verstappen's lucky, that's not what I'm saying, but sometimes you do need that rub of the green, as in, like, you know, Hamilton and Verstappen don't finish in Monza, which is a race that you would have backed Mercedes to win on past reputation. In recent times, anyway. They go to Russia, which, again, is a Mercedes stronghold. Verstappen takes the grid penalty, engine penalty, starts 18th, finishes 2nd. And, you know, like, it's those 20th. Sort of thing. Say again, sorry?
He starts 20th. He gained 18
places. Yes, sorry. Sorry, yeah, started 20th, gained 18 places. So, as in, like, sometimes you need those little bit of things to go your way.
Because I feel like a lot of those little things haven't gone his way so far this season. He's been on the receiving end of a fair bit, I've always felt, this season. Well, when you look at, like, Baku and the tyre exploding just for no reason, and then you look at Silverstone, where he would have won, in theory, and...
Well, I mean, like, I'll give you Silverstone, but as in, like, when you... Yeah. Don't forget in Baku that, like, okay, it was very unfortunate that his tyre exploded... But then they do the restart, and Hamilton bumps a button on the back of his wheel,
and that was a small mercy.
I feel like those sort of things balance themselves out.
That's what I think this weekend did, because I feel like he lost out again in Hungary, because that wasn't obviously his fault. That was Bottas's, because Bottas pretty much took out half the grid at that situation. But that was nothing on Verstappen, and then it was like he can only do so much, and he ends up finishing something like 10th, which is a bit pointless, really. So, you know what I mean? It's like he'd not had the rub of the green, I didn't feel like. And I feel like this has almost rubbed the green back the other way. And it's like, I feel like going into it now, it is pretty much neck and neck. And it's almost back to ground zero. It's like, let's see where we go from here. It's a new season.
There we are. Exciting times. I think that brings us to the end of the podcast, doesn't it?
It does.
What's the next race on the calendar?
Oh, I wish I knew.
I can have a look now. Also, when is it? Have we got a break again now?
I do believe there is a singular week off. But I can tell you now that it is I don't know. We've had Russia, which is the 24th of September. Oh, we've got two cancelled races in a row. Oh, no. One of them's replaced by Turkey. So 8th of October is our next weekend. So that's a Friday.
Which last season was a cracking race.
It was. So, and I believe Lando Norris got... Oh, I was listening to something and they said something about Norris in Turkey. And I can't remember what it was, but look out for Norris. I can't tell you why, but there was something about it.
There's really not many races left, are there?
No. Who do you think wins Turkey? Out of curiosity. Well, this is out of Verstappen and Bottas now.
Verstappen and Bottas? How dare you write off Hamilton like that?
Well, Bottas has his new engine, see, so Hamilton's a non-factor.
I would... It's
some fast bends on that. Wouldn't that favour the Euro package of Red Bull?
I would say... Turkey... Don't know. 50-50. US, yes. I would say Merck. Mexico and Brazil, I'd say Red Bull.
Wow.
That would be my initial thinking, just based on...
There's only two more races to cover, which are Saudi Arabia, which we don't know anything about, and Abu Dhabi.
Oh, gosh, sorry. I do you know what? In my head, then, I had Brazil a flashback of when the season used to finish in Brazil. I forgot that we had the two other races. I mean, Jeddah, I have no idea, because we've never been there. And Abu Dhabi... could go either way, I would say.
Didn't Verstappen win this race last year?
Well, Abu Dhabi?
Because it wasn't it to show that Red Bull were actually really good at the end of the season?
And
that was sort of the kickstart for the season after.
Possibly.
I'm sure he won it.
He did win it. I think, you know, like, let's be fair, Hamilton had already won the championship by that point, so it means nout. I don't know, I feel like... You've probably got, in terms of who you'd expect, you've got 50-50 Turkey, Mercedes USA, Mexico and Brazil, Red Bull, and then you've probably got possibly Red Bull for Abu Dhabi, in fairness, just based on the past couple of seasons, as in Mercedes haven't done well there. Probably because by that point they've already wrapped up the championship with about four races to spare. And Saudi Arabia is anyone's guess. So, for want of a better phrase, this season could go down to the wire.
I'm loving it. Every time I hear... They must have said that about six times on the commentary for the Formula One race this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going down to the wire, this. It's like...
I'm pretty sure that's Christian Horn. I've heard Christian Horn say that a few times. I think this season is going to go down to the wire. And at that point, I'm like, yeah, we made a good choice with the name. And I also think, is there a copyright infringement? No, I joke. There we are. Right, thank you all for listening. Oh, actually, sorry, before we do that, what are your thoughts on the last couple of races?
I wouldn't want to guess, you know, that's on you. No. I reckon...
Right, let's go
sweep.
Turkey. Clean sweep for Red Bull?
Clean sweep.
Well, you reckon they're going to win all of them?
All six. I think all six are going to Red Bull. Is there going to be an Australian Grand Prix?
No, it's cancelled.
It cancelled? They're not going to reschedule? And is that the same for China and Japan?
Yeah. No, they're done. Or done, and they're not happening.
Do I think it'd be a clean sweep? No, sorry. I reckon Verstappen wins five of these last six. And I think he doesn't win Mexico. I think there's a crash. And I think Bottas and him go out. Apart from that, I think it's a clean sweep for Verstappen.
Fair enough. Which means that it doesn't go down to the wire.
It's going to be way in his favour. if that comes off, by the way, that would be incredible.
I feel like not so down to the wire doesn't really have the same ring to it as the name for a podcast, to be honest.
Well, let's just call ourselves the Clean Sweep.
Ooh.
Covering up all... Clean Sweep of all the latest news.
For any people who want to start a podcast, there's your name view, as given to you by Jack Freeman, the Clean Sweep. Thank you all for listening. Pleasure as always to have you listening to the podcast. We do appreciate it, if there is anyone listening, that is. If you're listening on YouTube or Spotify, why not follow and subscribe based on the platform you're listening on. We're also on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Anchor, Pocket Casts.
Yep.
I think that's all of them.
I think there's more, but I don't actually know what they are.
Well, go and listen to some of the other episodes if you want to find them, people, because this will be the 40th time that I've done this now. So,
is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, it was episode 40,
mate. I didn't put the episode thing in the notes. So I wasn't aware
episode,
of that.
Ah. Episode 40.
Episode 40. Look at us.
Oof. 10 more off half a century. Jack, pleasure as always.
Thank you.
And we shall speak to you all soon.